The first thing I do is to walk around the ship, looking at specific places I already know about. I look for any open panel, anything out of place, any animals stuck in a hole, and pieces of garbage around intakes and inside the landing gear wells. I look for hydraulic leaks, unsecured hatches. I remove covers and tags, like remove before flight tags, exactly as you would on an Earth aircraft. No service hoses hanging out, nothing attached to the craft. No external power feed wires. Nothing, so the craft is standing alone. Once the craft is secured, I walk to the ramp in front of it, and I look at the hydraulic pistons on each side, the actuators. I look for anything that might get caught in it as it closes, and any leaks as well. I walk up the ramp, not stairs, and find myself in the main cargo hold. I look around to see if everything there is secured. Taking, for example, in this situation, as if it was empty. No cargo. I either think the order, or press a big red button on the forward side of the cargo hold inside to raise the ramp. Then I wait to see that it's up. It takes a few seconds. It goes up with the whining sound of the pumps. Then there is a thump, and the red button glows green, secured up. I walk past a narrow passageway like 5 meters to the front of the craft. To each side of this passage, there are access doors to the ship's main computer, the CPU, on either side. The doors are transparent, tinted light smoke color. Lights and systems are glowing inside. The brain is active. I get to a small door, and it opens to one side, left, and I walk into the cockpit. There is an upper level semicircle shape there, with 2 seats on one side, 2 on the other by the windows, that are now covered, looking titanium colored. 1 step below, there is a main seat in the center and a console. You go into the cockpit, where the floor is shaped like 1/3 of a circle. It is like a moon shape, with the tips forward and the door at the center. I step down and there are 3 more seats, in total 7. 1 in the center and 2 more in front, side by side. In front of each one of the 3 seats there is a large curved console, metal grey in color. I sit in the center one. You could take a seat anywhere you like. I would recommend the 2 forward seats to each side of the pilot's main seat. Now, when I fly alone, I will move my center seat forwards all the way to the cockpit canopy, leaving behind the 2 other front seats. With you two there, I can be in front and you two to the rear of me. Or 3 side by side, or you in front and me behind in the middle. The seats do move.
All of us side by side, unless Dale objects.
Okay. Then we strap ourselves in. The seats do this for you, so you don't have to. They are 5-point seat belts, but they come out of the seat and strap you in automatically. In the center of them, there is a big black button. You press it, and it disables the system. The window in front goes all around from top to bottom. On the floor, meaning the floor on the lower level of the cockpit, it is transparent. On the sides where the 4 rear seats are, there are more windows. We are now inside, but everything is off. The cockpit canopy, the canopy is the transparent part, is off at this moment, meaning it's opaque. It looks grey and dull. You can't see outside. The lights come from the level step on the floor and from lighting slots all over the roof as well as the console to the rear. We are now sitting. All I have to do is say, all systems start, and the whole computer will boot up. Or I can press the big black button to the left and up corner of my console, the manual control.
Exciting! That's usually me on the plane during takeoff.
Nice ox cart, Gosha. Sorry. Joking. I don't compare. I love old tech. Flying machines as well.
Better?
Yeah, that's better. Too bad those only use gravity cancelling. We deem that as inferior technology. Okay. Systems come online. The three main consoles light up and give basic readings. One sec. Ready. In front of each console, a screen will appear. It's translucent, only a hologram. And the canopy will go transparent.
Do you set up telepathic interface at this point?
No, it was set up the moment I asked for all systems start. Or you can at any point request interface at will, whenever you want, if on manual mode. In front of the canopy, you will see basic instrumentation appear in front of you. You can now see outside, the hangar, and all in front of the craft. Under the canopy, you can see the quadruple plasma cannon under you. In the case of model TPT-155 Susie 1, you can see the muzzle of the GAU-7 Gatling cannon. You ask for a systems check, and it will take a few seconds. Less than 5. All systems nominal will come up in audio and on screen in front of you. You either ask for it mentally or you do it manually. You check systems for engine and gravity generators, and it comes up all nominal, all okay. Then you say the magic words, you think them, or you press the nice red button in the center above the console. The button reads, engine start. Like this. 1 second. Turbine helicopter starter. Listen. Similar, but bigger. A lot bigger. And then the second one starts up and catches up with the first. Rarely do they do the same together. They do not always start in the same sequence, one, then the other, or the next time the other and then the first one. This is for you, the pilot, to hear them, in case there is something wrong. You feel your engines, you know them well, they are part of you. When they are both at a high enough speed, the roar bursts behind each one of them like two large explosions. Plasma level has been reached, and with it, thrust. Then you ask for takeoff permission, in case it's applicable. When you are clear, you set the inertia dampeners to however you want. 97 to 98% is usual, to be able to feel some acceleration. But you can program the accelerators and dampeners to be at full 100% in the rest of the ship, and at 97% in the cockpit alone. People in the rear of the ship will be comfortable drinking their tea, while you in front are accelerating and enjoying your maneuvers. 100% inertia dampeners equals you do not feel any movement. Set it to 97%, and it means you feel 3% of the acceleration. Set it to 0%, and you will be a smear on the canopy. Jello! 97% is enough. A Susie-class ship may accelerate over 1,000 G-force while flying atmosphere. 1,000 times Earth gravity while in the atmosphere. It is the same for a 90 degrees or worse turn when, in a fighter aircraft, a human pilot can take a maximum G of 10, maybe 11 G-force for like 3 seconds. In an F-15 fighter, for example. So, we have clearance. On the console to the left, under the system's on button, you set the gravity cancellation to 0. Not inertia dampeners. In front of you, the hologram indicates that the ship is hovering and no weight is on the landing gear. Then, still to the left, under gravity cancellation controls, there are 3 rectangular glowing buttons in white. For Tigetan craft, white equals green, usually. Red equals red for reference. Touch all of them and they will glow green. Green indicating good up movement. Then red for a moment. And then off. Indicating that the gear has retracted into the wells. I give a manual description here for now. Everything I say can be thought and the craft will obey. I take my joystick with my right hand and my collective with my left, as in a helicopter, and gently push the joystick forwards. The ship moves slowly forwards. Collective is the throttle controls and other buttons, mainly engine power control. We assume that the ship is in a covered hangar with side exits. Our ship glides some 10 feet over the deck. Deck is floor in pilot talk. We reach the end of the hangar and see empty space all around up, as in taken off from the larger ship. A little bit of static is seen outside around the hull as we cross the several layers of force field that encloses and protects the mothership and hangar area.
Wow, that moment of jumping into space must be incredible.
It feels like, or as if you were to fall off. It does look like the edge of a precipice. Then we are in space, moving with the gravity generators only. I move the joystick to one side, and we move alongside the large mothership. We see its large grey hull. Now we are in space. We exit. Here, in this example, very slowly, moving like at 40 miles per hour, which is 65 kilometers per hour, slow for a ship. So, we are alongside our mothership. We can see the windows, sometimes people inside. Then it ends, we are alone. The mothership is behind us. We move the nose of our ship towards the destination. Not necessary, but we do it anyway. Say, Aldebaran, 65.4 light years away. We begin to move faster as I move the collective up. And we are now moving past Mach 1 and move to hypersonic speeds. We feel the acceleration. Then we move the power to the main turbines. Feel them bursting into life. There is a huge kick and acceleration, and a large roar and cracking sounds of the plasma outside. We move faster and faster. The ship now starts to alter the density of itself and you in its inside to compensate for the added mass due to the acceleration. Usually, when we reach 40,000 kilometers per second, or 24,854 miles per second. We then go to what you would call throttle up. Having programmed the destination with thought only, all calculations are made by the ship's AI. She knows what she is doing. all ships are a she. We close the toroid and jump into hyperspace. It feels like static, and outside no stars remain. We move way too fast. All you see are streaks of light moving backwards. They are not stars. They are static discharges between the toroid and the hull of the ship. It's perfectly smooth. The roar of the engines has stopped to be only a whisper or a flow of air coming out of a metal pipe. You are now moving horrendously fast. On a Susie class ship, for Aldebaran, 65.4 light years away. Last time it was 25 minutes sit time. Sit is ship internal time. You can now leave your seat.
But there is no sound in space, right?
The sound comes only from the ship itself. What you hear is transmitted through. Nothing of sound is formed on the outside. And when in hyperspace, you cannot see anything outside. It's all black. Only the discharges and streaks outside. They are nice, because they do give you some sense of speed. Those two are not coming from the outside, but from the toroid.
Turbine are high-speed compressor turbines.
No compressor. They are not jet turbines. Only ionic magnetic plasma drives.
Turbines act to compress flow of plasma as it is magnetically confined. Once you go beyond turbine power, you kick in magnetic toroid, and that is a frequency drive. That's what you use for hyperspace.
In that case, yes. Toroid. The engines are the ones that generate the toroid. The plasma is frequency controlled.
So they act to produce plasma output that is then confined to the toroid. And that will generate your hyperspace.
The flux output backwards will flow to the front of the ship and back again with something like a caterpillar effect. The plasma flows out backwards.
Does it engulf the ship? Like a bubble?
Yes. Then, as it is magnetic, it will flow to the front of the craft using the hull itself and closes the toroid. As the frequency output of the engines is precisely controlled, the exact frequency inside the ship and the toroid are the ones of the destination.
It's a very elegant system. The polymorphic material controls the field around the ship, right?
The ship is made of polymorphic metal, computer controlled. One word here. We no longer use warp speed as a name for this as we may have in the past, because this is wrong. To warp is to bend time-space, as Einstein said, to create a wormhole. There is no time and space to bend. There is frequency modulation and control manipulation, not warping anything. This frequency technology is beyond warp technology. We call it supraluminal or simply hyperdrive or ether jumps. And it is still generated by turbines rotating and making jet noises. But they are way above and more advanced than gravity drives that are only used for or as control surfaces would be on an aircraft.
Do the ships use any fuel?
These ships are zero point. No fuel of any kind is needed. No refueling nor recharging necessary ever. Unlimited range. We don't need to use wormholes. We don't need solar portals. We don't need anything. The ship itself makes its own wormhole, if you may. Well, not wormhole either. We are beyond that. We do not depend on transit routes of any kind, as other lesser advanced races do. This is beyond warp technology. While at hyperspeed, you can walk around, take some tea, eat cookies. We do have them. Chat. Leave the bridge alone. Play a game. And then the computer will say in audio something like, translating to human terms, "Now hear this. Now hear this. Destination threshold achieved. Destination threshold achieved. Ship is now decelerating and returning to impulse mode." You run to your seats, strap yourselves again. Then you will clearly hear a turbine deceleration, and it tells you in how much time. It's all sit time. This is hard to describe, as we don't use seconds or minutes. Humans are the only species that has invented a way to measure something that does not exist. But it conveys the idea in reference to what you have lived from the start of the jump to the end. Like in telling you that the ship will exit hyperspeed in 2% of total sit time experienced so far. Do I make any sense up to now?
Yes, perfect sense. Thank you.
All pilots eventually function as one with their ship.
That is correct. Perfectly correct.
If I were with you on the ship, enter there, would the ship recognize me?
It would. The ship would recognize your frequency and DNA. You don't need an ID here. But each ship has safe settings. For example, Susie is so tight in her settings that only Svaru can operate or even enter her. In a very real sense, Susie is an extension of Svaru. Her AI is an extension of Svaru's mind. But a large ship like this one is more relaxed, and you would access and operate the ship.
Thank you, Kal-El. It was quite exciting. We can feel your passion about flying when you describe everything. Thanks a lot for all the details.
Thanks, brother. It was most exhilarating to be there with you. I am remembering some of it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you both for yours. I am tired now, but I love to be here with you. Until tomorrow.